differently. One definition: the season of the year when it is fashionable to waste money. That's one definition. Christmas provides the excuse, custom provides the social pressure, and guilt feelings provide the motivation. Another definition: the season of the year when you have to fight your way through the malls, spend every dime you have, max your credit cards, buying gifts for those you love and also for those you don't love. Another definition: the fun of wrapping parcels, the smell of Christmas tree, feasts and fun and giving, that's what Christmas means to me. And the last one is not a definition, it's what happens. Shop till you drop. Now some of you will say, now he's going to tell us we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. It's a pagan holiday. That's not my subject. My subject is missing the point. That's the trouble in the world. They're missing the point. Now, let us look at a few, consider a few things. The date of Christmas. Was Christ born on that day? No, he wasn't born on that day. You will remember that when he was born, the shepherds were in their fields at night. Now, the temperature in the Middle East is similar to the temperature here. And in December, the shepherds out there would not be minding their flock. December was as cold over there as it often is here. The preferable time would be October. At the birth of Christ, all the people had to report to the place where they were born. December would be a very uncomfortable time for men, women, children, mothers, to have to travel in the cold. And even the Lord said, pray that you not travel in the winter. Well, now you say to me, you say all those things, let's look at a few things about Christmas. First of all, as we all know, it's a pagan celebration. We all know that. We hear a lot today about the mother and child. And most people think that it started with Mary and the child Jesus. It didn't start there. It started long before that. You remember in Genesis chapter 10, you read about a man named Nimrod. And he was a great hunter. Not of animals, of people. He was another Yasser Arafat. Another Saddam Hussein. He was a tyrant. His wife's name was Semiramis. Nimrod died, and Semiramis had an illegitimate child, which she presented to the world of Nimrod reincarnated. That's where mother and child started. Now you say, give me a little scriptural evidence for some of this. Well, let's turn to the, where shall we turn? There's so many references. But if I were to go through all that I have here, we'd be here for 2 or 3 hours. Don't want to do that. So let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. Just want to establish a little fact. Ezekiel chapter 8. verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 14. Then he brought to me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for whom? Tammuz. Who is he? He was the son of Semiramis, the supposedly revived Nimrod. That's where the mother and child started. Did not start with the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother. It was a long existing teaching. Have you ever received a card saying, "Precious Yuletide, Merry Yuletide"? You ever heard the word Yuletide? Yule is a Babylonian word for child. That's where it started. Back in Babylon. And you will find that all the unpleasantries and all the wrongdoings associated with this season go back to Babylon. The Christmas tree. Oh my. Where'd that come from? Jeremiah chapter 10, please. Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, I'm going to read it, or we will read it. And you tell me what comes to your mind as we read. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. This is God speaking to his people Israel. Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the heathen. Don't be afraid at the signs of the heathen. The heathen are dismayed at them. The customs of the people are vain. Now follow me. Follow the book. One cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. Where do you get the Christmas trees from? Oh, verse 4. They deck the tree with silver and with gold. Does that sound similar or familiar? The money spent for decorations for a Christmas tree. The next clause, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, and today you pay up to $5 to $10 to get a stand to hold the tree straight. They did that long ago. That's old, the Christmas tree. I have several things here. I can't relate them all. Mistletoe. You ever heard of mistletoe at Christmas time? That goes a way back. You walk under the mistletoe and you'll have good luck. You want to get married? Walk under the mistletoe. All of these are old things. What is done today at Christmas time didn't start with the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother. It existed way before. It started in Babylon. It's all Babylonianism, contrary to the will of God. One of the things that people like to do at Christmas time is to have parties, right? These parties are known as Saturnalia. Who was Saturn? He was an ancient god. Now let me read for you what an authority says. This is not my word. Saturnalia was the most vile, immoral feast that ever disgraced Rome. It was a season of license, revelry prevailed, the entire city wantonly indulged in the filthiest thoughts of immorality. That's the Christmas party. I remember the first Christmas party I was invited to. I had just started at the hospital there, and one of the nurses said to me, "You're invited to the Christmas party at my home." I'd never been to one. And I went to this Christmas party. The odor of alcohol all over the place. Blinding smoke from cigars and cigarettes all over the place. And everybody calling everybody else by his first name. Do you know that 5 minutes after I entered, I was leaving? I said, "This is not the place for me." The next day, the nurse said to me, "You didn't stay very long." And she didn't wait long enough for me to tell her why I didn't stay very long. Saturnalia. An associate of mine, we trained together in the early days. His name was the same as mine, first name, Art Williams. And he became head of oral surgery. Very brilliant fellow. And he said to Arthur, "Me, Arthur, I'd like you to come to our Christmas party." I said, "Arthur, I don't go to those things. There's something about them I don't like." He said, "Oh, this one is going to be different. There'll be no trouble at all." I didn't go to the party. Now, we had working with us in the clinic a secretary. She was like the sisters in this meeting, very charming and attractive. She had a beautiful face. And she went to Art Williams' Christmas party. Her husband was there, and he thought that she was too friendly with a certain man. What do you think he did? He took a knife and slashed her across the face. What kind of party is this where you go with a knife? Where you go with a gun? What kind of party is that? Slashed his wife across the face. Didn't see her for 3 weeks, and when she came back to work at the hospital, there was this scar right across, marring that beautiful face. The sky's the limit. Do what you want. But we go a little further. Do you know that Christmas is an irrational holiday? It doesn't make sense. Christmas does not make sense. And why do I say so? Well, they say it's the Lord's birthday, which it isn't. George Washington, we all know of him, right? Father of the country. Birthday, February the 22nd. Why do we celebrate George Washington's birthday? Because he was born on the 22nd? A whole lot of people were born on the 22nd. You don't celebrate that birthday, do you? Why Washington's birthday? Because of what he did. Because of his performance. That's why you celebrate his birthday. February the 12th, Lincoln's birthday. Why do you celebrate it? Again, I say many people were born on February the 12th. You don't celebrate their birthday. Why do you celebrate Lincoln's birthday? Because of his performance. Martin Luther King, January the 17th. Oh, just yesterday I learned an interesting thing. Do you know another outstanding man in this country was also born on January the 17th, but they don't celebrate his birthday? Why do they celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday and they don't celebrate Muhammad Ali's birthday, and he was born on the same day. Why not? He didn't make any contribution of worth. We celebrate the birthdays of these people because of what they contribute. That's why you celebrate. And if you're going to celebrate the Lord's birthday, celebrate it because he was of what he contributed. Don't celebrate it because he was born. That's no reason to celebrate. Celebrate because of his contributions. And when he was here, he said, I am come that you might have life more abundantly, to the full. And if you are here and you don't have eternal life, you're celebrating for the wrong reason. He said at another place, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you. And if you are not looking and prepared for the coming of the Lord, you're celebrating for the wrong reason. I hope I make myself clear. We don't celebrate because people were born. We celebrate because of their performance. Now the question arises, how should we celebrate Christmas? Should we celebrate it at all? John chapter 10, please. The believer's attitude towards Christmas. John chapter 10. Verse 22. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. What feast was that? The feast of the dedication. Where did that come from? In the book of Leviticus, we read of the feasts of Jehovah. Seven feasts ordained by Jehovah himself. Starting with the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and ending with the feast of tabernacles. Divine feast. The feast of the dedication we just read. Where did that come from? God didn't authorize the feast of the dedication. Where did it come from? And that goes back in history. Some fascinating history. If you've never read it, read it. As a matter of fact, Daniel chapter 11, I believe it is. Yes, Daniel 11. Where did this feast of Jehovah come from? This feast of dedication, I'm sorry. Where did it come from? Daniel chapter 11. Verse 27. Both these kings' hearts. Who are these kings? The king of the north from Syria and the king of Egypt from the south. Both these kings shall be to do mischief. And they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return to his land with great riches. That's the king of the north. His heart shall be against the holy covenant. He shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the point time appointed, he shall return and come to the south. He's coming against Egypt. But it shall not be as the former or the latter. Verse 30. Ships of Shittim shall come against the king of the north. What is that? What is that? The king, who was the king of the north? Antiochus Epiphanes. You ask me where I get all this information. It's not in the Bible, I'll grant you that. But you can get it reliably. And I'll tell you the references. The king king of the north. Ships from Shittim shall come against him. Why? Because he was going against Egypt. And the Egyptians sent to Rome and said, please stop him. And a Roman general came to Antiochus and said, the Roman Senate does not want you to fight against Egypt. Antiochus said, I'll think about it. And the Roman general, they were in the sand, drew a circle around him and said, I want your answer before you leave that circle. Isn't that dramatic? Shakespeare never wrote anything like that. You want real drama? It's in the book. And proud Antiochus had to decide before he came out of that circle or he would have been killed right there. That upset him very much. And then we read on. Therefore he shall be grieved, verse 30, and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Arms shall stand on his part. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and take away the daily sacrifice. They shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. What was that abomination? Antiochus did not go to Egypt, but he was so upset and so angry, he decided to attack the temple in Jerusalem. And he came to the temple in Jerusalem, destroyed many of the wonderful things that God had told his people to place there. You've heard this before, you know this. And on the altar of burnt offering, he offered a pig. That's defiance, isn't it? Defying God. And that's what the reference is here. The abomination that maketh desolate. The story is also told that he insisted that many of the Jews should eat pig. There was one mother with seven sons. He gathered this mother and these seven sons, seated the seven sons, put pig meat before them and told them to eat. They looked at their mother, and their mother said, don't eat. They refused to eat, and in her sight, they killed all seven sons. That's the kind of man he was. That was the abomination of desolation. Let me read on. Such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flattery. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by cavity and so forth. When they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end. What is this? What happened here? You've heard the name Maccabees? You've heard of the Maccabees? Judas Maccabees and his sons and his family rose up against Antiochus. Defeated Antiochus. Cleansed the temple. Returned the vessels that belong there. And set up the feast of dedication. That's where that feast comes from that we read of in the Gospel of John. The Feast of Dedication. In commemoration of the cleansing of the temple. Today, this feast is known as Hanukkah. It was kept for 8 days back there in those days. It's celebrated for 8 days now in the month of December. It connoted the victory of the Jewish people over this wicked king. Now let's read Again, John chapter 10, verse 22. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, Hanukkah, a man-made feast. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Lord didn't say, that's not a divine feast, I won't go there. He didn't belittle them. He didn't look down his nose up. He was there. And I say to us as believers, don't say those people are celebrating Christmas, they don't know what they're doing, and look down your nose at them. Be there. We have something that they need. Verse 22. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Messiah, the Christ, tell us plainly. If you be the Messiah, the Christ, tell us plainly. You know that was an unnecessary question and an unnecessary statement. He did not have to tell them that he was the Christ. In the Old Testament, there are 333 prophecies telling exactly about the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. 333 descriptions of one man. You couldn't miss him. You shouldn't miss him, should you? Why didn't they know him? Why didn't they recognize him? Or just turn back with me to John chapter 4, please. Very familiar. John chapter 4. Verse 29, the woman at the well, a Gentile. She recognized him as the Messiah. Why couldn't these folks recognize him as the Messiah? Come see a man, verse 29, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? And several places throughout the New Testament you'll read, there were those that recognized the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of the Old Testament prophecies about him. 333 prophecies about one man. You shouldn't miss him, should you? I don't see how you could. And you know what's remarkable? 33 of those prophecies were fulfilled in his last 24 hours. In other words, more than one prophecy an hour. They should have recognized him. And every reason to recognize. But he was there at the feast. Now let's read on. Let's proceed with our study. You'll have to excuse me. I have so much here. Let's read what the Lord, how the Lord behaved at this feast that was not ordered by God himself. He was there. And again, I say, I tell you, don't say, I won't go there, that Christmas, that's heathen, I won't be bothered with those people. Don't look down your nose at them. They need our help. The Lord was there. Now let's see how he conducted himself. John chapter 10. We start again at verse 22. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, Hanukkah. It was winter. Hanukkah came in winter. It's winter now, isn't it? This is Christmas season. Kind of cold out there, isn't it? Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And I've just said that they ought to know that he was the Christ. They had every reason to recognize him. The man whom he restored sight to recognized him. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, she recognized him. Why couldn't these people recognize him? Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. That's it. That was their trouble. They wouldn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe me not. Go down a few verses. 31. Now he's telling the truth. They took stones to stone him. Do you know that's what they're doing to believers today when they tell the truth? Do you know that in this nation you have a group of people? I can think of at least two groups. If they had their way, they would kill every one of us immediately. The ACLU, pray for them. The women's group, now, pray for them. They have no use for God, and they declare that God's people, we that are Bible-believing believers, are bringing the earth down, bringing the nation down. We are silly. We are old-fashioned. We are not up to date. They didn't believe him. The Jews took stones against him. Verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works. Verse 39, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. And that is what wicked men and women are doing to those of us who are standing for the truth, even at this holiday season. Telling them the truth about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have said, it's not his birth that's important. It's what he did that's important. And failure to follow and be advised by what he did, you're celebrating for the wrong reason. Now, Brother George, please let me know the time. I don't have my watch with me. It's in the repair shop. Let me know when it's time to stop. Thank you. Now I'm responsible. I have to use my own judgment. Pray the Lord that my judgment will be good. Now, how shall we, the believers, conduct ourselves at this time? How did the Lord conduct himself? He told them the truth. At that feast that was not ordered by him. He went there, he didn't turn his back on them, and he told them the truth. And beloved, I say that what the people of this nation and this world need at this season that they celebrate ignorantly is to know the truth. Now, why was it so hard for them to believe and to accept him? Luke chapter 24. You see, they were looking for a Messiah of their making. They were not looking for a Messiah according to the will of God. Luke chapter 24. I'm having a little trouble with this Bible. The static electricity, for some reason, has glued these pages together. Luke chapter 24. Let's start at verse 18. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass in these days? He said unto them, What things? They said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21. We trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. They were looking for a Messiah to free them from the tyranny of Rome. That's one reason they didn't recognize him. He didn't come to freedom. That was not his program. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. They were interested in the reign of Christ, that he was coming to rule. That's what they wanted. But that's not what he came for. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what they wanted. They wanted freedom from Roman tyranny. That was not the Lord's program. The Lord gave them the truth. And my message to us at this Christmas time, give them the truth. That's what they need. They need the truth. Acts chapter 8. They've got it all wrong at this Christmas season. Celebrating the Lord because he was born instead of celebrating for what he performed. Acts chapter 8. Verse 29. Now, we won't, when you go home, read the preceding verses. They were having a good time in Jerusalem. People were being saved. And all of a sudden, the Lord calls Philip and says, now you come away from there and go out into the desert. That didn't seem very encouraging. You were here where the Lord is blessing, and you take one man and tell him to go to the desert? Reasoning ordinarily and humanly, that wouldn't make much sense. Why leave a place of blessing to go out in the desert? What's out in the desert? But we shall see. Acts chapter 8, verse. Oh, we better start at verse. Well, 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was in the wrong place. Jerusalem wasn't the place to worship. You remember that the veil was broken from top to bottom, not bottom to top. They couldn't, no human being could reach the top. God divided the veil, saying the old system has passed away, things are new. But he went to Jerusalem. Verse 38, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? His life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet? Of himself or of some other man? And verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, who? Jesus. And that's what these people need as they worship idly, as they exchange presents. Our responsibility is to preach Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. I'll soon be finished. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Along the lines that our brother has been telling us in the Sunday school message. 2 Timothy verse 2. Preach the word. That's what we're to do. Tell them the truth. Be ready in season and out of season. This is in season for them. They're all occupied with the child and his mother. Tell them the truth. This is a good season to tell them. And give them the truth. Do you realize, beloved? People read the Bible, as we just read there before. Who is this about? He didn't understand what he read. I remember some years ago, I was about 10 or 11. And on the street where we lived, across the other side of the street, there was a family that held church services in their home, as we do on Wednesday night. They held all of their services there. We had never been to any of the church services, but we knew the children of those that owned the house. And Christmas time came, and they invited us to their Christmas celebration. We had the permission of my mother, I was there, my brother, and our friend Lloyd. The three of us went to this Christmas celebration. And they sang. And then they sang a very familiar hymn. I've never heard it here. Oh, 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 what he's done for me. Anybody here know that hymn? Yeah. And we sang it in Sunday school. Gave his life on Calvary, what he's done for me. And they began to sing, oh, 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 what he's done for me. He gave me shoes and stockings, that's what he's done for me. He gave me a doll and a carriage, that's what he's done for me. Oh, my, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Teaching a little child that nonsense. When the truth is, he came to give himself for me. But these people around don't understand. They're celebrating unwisely, unwittingly, unknowingly. Our responsibility is to be innocent. In season, out of season. Give them the word. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. This was one of my father's favorite verses. He quoted this often and he acted on it. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. And I say, beloved, that what we need at Christmas time is to give them the truth. I think I'm within the proper limits. Shall we close, please, by singing number 42? Rejoice and be glad. We have something to be glad about. Do you know that, beloved? The Redeemer has come. Go look at his cradle, his cross, and his tomb. Don't stop at the cradle. Go beyond that. And that's what's lacking at this Christmas season. And in this season, when they are celebrating for the wrong reason, let's tell them the real reason for celebration. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence with reverence and with joy. We thank thee for who thou art. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he has done. We thank thee for thy precious word that tells us more and more about thee. And now as we leave this sacred enclosure, be with us, guide us, protect us, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.